Ancient Texts, The Genealogy of Energy, is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Barbro and is a production of EI Alliance, copyright 2021.
Julie, it is so good to hear your voice again. It has been a while. It's so good to have this conversation with you again.
Hey, it sure is. Hey, welcome to 2022.
Oh my goodness, it's true. This is the first, wow.
You're actually, when folks who hear the intro is going to say 2021, but you know, we're in 2022. It all feels the same. Copywritten now.
Same old say, it's copywritten, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, let's get to the meat and potatoes here.
I'm trying to go vegan, so let's go more for the veggies.
Are you really?
I'm trying, but sometimes every once in a while, because you're not around, I don't have to have the cheese. I don't have to have anything.
I know.
But I had some cheese last night, and
I got to tell you, that's I couldn't go without the cheese. I could go vegetarian. Are you okay?
Yeah. See, you're going to hear it all, because I didn't realize I needed a...
Are you on speaker?
Some kind of technology. Yeah, I'm just on speaker.
Good.
So you're going to hear everything.
Oh, it's all good. Franco's bike flushes the door.
No, the door's shut. The door's shut. Not in the closet, but the door. Yeah.
I actually saw a great recipe for making your own tofu, believe it or not. I was going to send it. Yeah. And some of the comments were, that's great, but I can buy it for so cheap. Why would I go through the process? But you know me, it looks like fun. I'm thinking I'd like to do it. But I'm really going to end up, I'm not going to go to the lengths of saying I'm going to become vegetarian, but I've never been a huge meat eater anyways. Like I don't love it, but sometimes I felt like I should have meat, but, I could do that. I could go vegetarian.
We could go into a whole thing, 'cause this relates to the podcast,
right?
As well. Because, all is being revealed now, and all is not what it seems, and all that other stuff that goes on. But, you know, we grew up Italian, and we didn't hear about stuff. And now that you can see the way meat is processed and what happens, it's just heart-wrenching. And so everybody has their own opinions, and that's just my own. And I'm just going to say it that way. But for me, you know, as more and more is revealed, it really is a choice. And, you know, to try to be responsible for my choices is always a good thing.
I like that. And what's interesting is that's it's a very valid point, everything you just said. But for me, I was thinking about this. A lot of the my own values are somewhat commonplace to what you would think they would be, but they're not for any of the reasons that everyone says. So for me, you know, talking about it is, I've been on more farms, and when I see, and granted the horses, but I've seen cows, like they have personalities. I walked into a chicken coop and they come over like, buck, 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 and I'm thinking, how could I sit here? And and it's funny because, you know, now I'm going to say it, I'm up in Maine, and, you know, I was out with a few of these, very well-established older women. And I went out the other night and they said to me, you're a girl in search of a farm, Susan. And I'm like, yes. And it has a lot to do with not even, what everybody else says, and they're valid. It's for me, it's just, I look and it's almost like they're like, I mean, I hate to say it, like people, you know, in certain ways that they all have their own personalities. And I have these conversations with people and they like, oh yeah, one of the women, doesn't anymore. This woman is very, very wealthy, very well off, but the nicest woman, one of the nicest women, she raised worms. She that you put in there. And she's like, and she knew all about them. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and imagine, I can imagine if you sat there and you watched the worms, different ones did different things. And I'm thinking, you know, you get into eating it. It's like, it just has a personality. And therefore, you know, it's a part of the all. But it's part of everything, which is going to lead into what we were, you know, what we're doing the podcast on. So,
well, there's always been conversations about consciousness, and that's leading into, as things are being more and more open. I mean, you know, there's a huge trend of making the comparison of, you have a dog, it's like a pet. People have cows as pets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you eat your dog? And so there's, and again, I'm not saying anything to anyone. Everybody makes their own choices. And you know, I'm not doing that as a disclaimer, because I, you know, that's truthfully the way I feel. And it's funny, because I remember when I first was a vegetarian, you know, many, many years ago, I mean, this is decades ago, I remember walking through the supermarket in aisles and being sick to my, you know, sick and nauseous about certain things. And so, you know, that's just my own prerogative.
So, but I do have to throw in the other side of it, though, is that if you use the notion that everything is consciousness, then technically we shouldn't be eating plants. We shouldn't be eating herbs. You know, when you're eating a tomato, you're eating consciousness. You're so that's where I go, where I can't use the arguments that other people have, because being a meat eater, and if you're going to say that about consciousness, which I completely agree with you, you shouldn't be eating anything then. You really shouldn't be eating what I'm saying.
I'm saying, where there's conversations about consciousness, I mean, there's so many concepts that are brought up that, you know, that's where it all goes. And, you know, it's interesting, your choice of, you know, somehow falling into this book that isn't an ancient book, but, you know, is one that I kept on saying, didn't we talk about this? Because I remember visually sitting down, and it's a very thin book, and I couldn't find it. So I listened to the audio. I listened to it on high speed.
But, oh my God. So you say that, and I have never read this. Okay. So we're talking about Chariots of the Gods by Erik Van Daniken. Did I say his name right? Because you know me as Van Daniken.
Van Daniken, yeah.
Okay. I have never read this book before. I've never seen it. I've never read it. And it's funny. It was written in 1967. And when I'm hearing it, and the things that he's talking about, I was like, oh my God. He was even talking about the Mayan calendar ending in 2012. I was like, it was just, to me, I was like, you know, I had to keep putting in perspective. This was written in 1967. And it's like, you know, what he knew based on what they knew back then and what we know now is so much. And I had happened to see Ancient Aliens. He was on. They're talking with their own agenda, but I kept hearing different things when he was talking. I kept hearing him say something, and I'm like, he's saying what he knows, but I didn't see. And then, of course, they, in my mind, they were taking his words and using it to promote their agenda. And I said, there's something here. There's something in this book. And I am like, I'm going to say it. He's like my new hero. I'm like, oh my God. No, it's got nothing to do with, it's got nothing to do with aliens. It actually, the things that he talks about, he suggests things, he questions things, and he has his thoughts. And I'm like, and he goes that one step further that we always say no one does. Everyone says this, 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 and then they stop there. They don't go. And he did. And I'm not saying he's my hero because of what he says or what he suggests. It's almost like it's just a breath of fresh air. He basically, you know, and we're going to go into it, but he just completely said, you know, hogwash to everything everyone's been said. You're feeding us baloney. We're not eating it anymore. And what you say doesn't make sense. And he's the first person to stand up and say it. And I'm like, wow, wow. And where he went into what he knew, but there's some things in here as we go through. I'm like, this is phenomenal what he has said and what he's distinguished between what he knows and what he thinks. And I think it's just, it's so that's why I was like, all right, Julie. And therefore you went looking for your old copy and, you know, pulling it out and you fast forward. Whereas I got to tell you, I listened to this and I did fall asleep a few times and I had to go back and listen again.
So I didn't find my old copy, and I think I actually traded it in, and I couldn't find my notes. I can see them. I couldn't find them. So I did, you know, tackle it as kind of homework because we were going to talk about it, and I was intrigued as to what you were interested in about it.
Mm. And I can, I have, let me see, how many did I come up with? Nine. Because I don't know if you listened to the interview at the end. So I have 9 points that I was like, and they're very generic.
Points? You're so
fun. I didn't say
bullets,
it's going to be nine.
Bullets?
Yeah, I just counted, like, how many did I have? I just, you know, bulleted what I thought was really so incredibly important. So important. That's, and I'm like, and you're not going to hear anything in here about aliens. I'm sorry. I'm not saying, you know, so... So how do you want to do this?
I'm intrigued because we've done a lot of podcasts together and everybody's listening and crunching away at all our different 6 podcasts or so. And I started one myself this year that's going to go on for the whole year. That's a kind of a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in interesting spaces because we're not in the same space physically. And
no,
so we're usually in the same space physically. We have been in the past and, and with all that's gone on and stuff, and our lives have taken different trajectories and things, and as they do. And so, you know, there's, you know, I'm interested to, you know, find out what you found interesting. And okay. I have my own kind of, you know, cause I'm kind of crunching away at some other things that, and the funny thing is that, in no way at all does this associate with aliens.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to hear anything
so we're
about aliens
on that point. So,
and the reason, which is a good preface to the before we go into the meat of this, is that we have always said that. I mean, I'm not aware. I've never had the opportunity to be, you know, to see an alien, to see a ship or any of that. I haven't, not that I'm aware of. I don't know if I'm sleeping or whatever. I'm not aware of it. But I do believe that they exist. I'm just putting that out there. It doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree. And so, I mean, I think you do agree. And we've always said, well, there's so many reasons for why they exist. We've gone beyond that. We go into the, so like we said, what do we do with this? Is it about communication? Is it about integration? What is it about? We've gone into that space. That to me is more interesting as to, well, do they exist? Don't they exist? Have fun with that, Sherlock, you know, go ahead.
Not for anything, but where you used to live, we used to say your road was like a landing strip. And there were a number of times when I would leave your house late at night to come home because we were, you know, working nonstop. And I would point up and go, what the heck is that coming this way? And you would be like, oh, no, that's a plane. Or, oh, no, that's a, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, so, I don't have eagle eyes to that degree where, and even if it was a telescope, you had a telescope to look, who knows? So, and that's not the important part.
Right. That's the point that I'm making is that we're in it, but there's points in here that I'm like, he's my hero. And when you hear them, it has nothing to do with, there's like a connection. So I'm going to just start since we're at this point. So the first thing that I noted is he asks questions. He asks questions. He goes into, you know, he's done his own research and he's done tons of research. Like this guy has done so much research. He got into some of the science, and Julie, you should have been sitting there deciphering it for me. Cause I'm like, holy moly. He's into, I'd have to like really sit down and pull notes together and figure out what he was saying. Cause he was talking very intelligently about the science.
We did a podcast. Gosh, I think we did it way back in 2015 or 2016. When we were using another platform, and we did it in our Let's Talk About Energy. Mm-hmm. And the title of it was, Are You Asking the Right Questions?
Right.
And I think, you know, a degree of what you're saying is interesting. And I'd also add that, yes, he does ask a lot of interesting questions.
I think just that he asks questions. He starts off by asking questions, saying, hey, I saw this. This is what was said, but this, based on this, doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And he would say, the experts, the quote experts, tell us this.
Right.
How about this? And how about that? And you could go and read the book. I'm not going to go into the specifics because he gives, I think he said like 200, and at one point he has 250 questions or 260 questions that he asked. So you can go in and listen and read it, whatever. But he asked the questions, which number one, I was like, who else does that? No one else is asking questions. Everyone's quote the expert. He's, as he calls himself, a layman, a layperson, asking mm-hmm. questions. I was like, kudos. Number one, you got me because you're asking the questions. That's a start. Nobody writes a book asking questions. Everyone writes a book saying, we're going to tell you this unless, you know, our book asks questions as well.
Our book asks questions and you just wrote a book that asked questions.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. That's my, you're right.
So you're Miss Nobody. Wait a minute.
Yeah. I think a teacher, a great teacher,
right,
asks open-ended questions, right. Not like, okay, 1 + 1 = 2. Okay. It'll be like, what's the concept of 1 + 1 = 2? When we know in between one and then you add another one, well, between one and two, there's an infinite number of numbers. Like,
right.
I think the question to have a definite answer is where we lose. We lose.
Right.
And
so where I move with where he asked questions, and the reason why I referenced our podcast of so many years ago mm-hmm. was, and I haven't listened to it recently, and I'm not, but I mean, we did it. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's still there,
yeah.
What the vibration is of what it's about. You know, for me, the questions can't be on all that's been presented to you. The questions have to leap further.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And a lot of times, even though this was a very thin book, a lot of times it was just what's been presented. And I found it, you know, I'm gonna sideswipe you here a little bit because, you know, I found it curious that the original title of the book was going to be Memories of the Future.
Right.
Yeah. And instead, you know, the publisher said, let's call it Chariots of the Gods. And we know why.
Right.
So Memories of the Future is, you know, and then millions and millions of copies and translated and sold and to get, and they started, I thought it was funny, you know, your choice on this selection. I thought it was funny because they said it was like a virus, Donikinitis, they were calling it, you know, Matt Donikin, because with all this, you know, everyone all interested in, you know, we talk about this. Sometimes people, you know, catch on a wave with things.
Yeah.
And it goes through this fad and it goes through the wave. And, you know, that's what Ancient Aliens, it's been on for years and years and years.
Well, Ancient Aliens, again, doesn't ask a question. It says, look at this and we say it's that. I mean, they're not even doing that. That's why we get frustrated.
Right.
It's like, but when he wrote the book, he did go that one step further. And he said, you know, I'm asking this question. And he threw out a hypothesis.
Mm.
Maybe this is what could have occurred. He didn't say, let me tell you all, this is what could have occurred. He's saying maybe this because of these reasons.
Mm.
And he put out a hypothesis. And he challenged what the experts said. Everyone mm-hmm. says this instead of everybody reading the same thing. And, you know, we talk about the Matrix and getting caught up and all that. He is the first one to say, yo, hello, this doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And he questioned it. And no one did that. Nobody did that. Mm-hmm. We did it, actually, not to throw my, I'm not trying to throw, but we did the same thing. And I'm like, he did it. And he went, so I'm jumping ahead because, he said, I got to find it, that he actually, okay, I'll find it afterwards. He went, because he said he grew up and went to a boarding school, a Catholic boarding school, and the Jesuit priests are the ones that you know, presented him with, and he studied the Bible. And he's, and this is the part that I love, because you and I have had this conversation about the Bible. The Bible is not what everybody has decided it is, that it was something else. Right. And we have our hypothesis, I'll say, but he actually went in and he read the Bible, and he said, I think he was in the book of Ezekiel, he said that it talked about flying machines and wheels and everything. And he said, and you're going to laugh because I'm going to catch you. He asked the Jesuit priest, why does God need all of this? Mm. And it's like you, when you always say to me, when you watch, was it Star Trek, that why does God need a spaceship? Remember, you always say that.
Yeah, in one of the, like, Star Trek movies. That's
that they say it.
Classic and, line.
Yeah. And he back in 67 was questioning. And I of course, let me see if I can, you know. Of course, that one I didn't write down because I heard it and I'm like, I'm going to remember to tell it. But he looked at the Bible, and he said some of the stuff that what people are saying represents God and everything. He said something's off here, and so he went to the descriptions in the Bible as to being like star people, and so then he kind of got. That's kind of how he said he began this search into aliens and ancient aliens. Is because he started with the Bible and things didn't make sense. And so I'm like, yeah, the Bible, it's not that the Bible doesn't make sense, but it is not written the way that people are interpreting it. And so he got that. And what? So then he went into, like, again, and I laugh because it's the whole thing. He you know, why does God need, you know, because that's what they called it, the gods. And that's, and then in the Bible, Ezekiel, and I didn't read it. I could go back to whatever, you know, look at it. But, oh, here it is. Wait a minute. And they said that what they described as God, what they described as God and how God came to earth is not the God, and this is his word, that we know. That's not the God that we know. The God that we know is everything, is everywhere. It doesn't need a spaceship to come here. And that was the beginning of his search as to what's really going on. And then the Jesuits priests gave him all the things to read and then he started his own exploration, which I thought was brilliant. Mm. Now, he went one way. I'm not saying he was right or wrong. I have my ideas, which I said in the beginning, but to have that foresight to say, this doesn't make sense. This isn't, you know, reading the Bible. This isn't what we believe God to be. None of this makes sense. And so he said, I have to look into something else. Right. And that to me was brilliant. And he says he never, in one thing he said, and this was in his interview, he never confuses God with aliens. He uses writings. He uses the writings to say that aliens come, but he has still made a distinction between aliens and God. Like, if you listen to Ancient Aliens, it makes it sound like, oh, we came from the aliens and they created us and blah, 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 blah. Daniken doesn't say that. Mm. He has a very clear distinction. I know God, and then there's aliens. And I'm like, holy baloney. I'm trying not to say that. That's what we say, not about the alien piece, but that God is everything. We've said this, and I'm using the word God loosely. It's the trees, it's the ocean, it's the air, it's right. all sentient and non-sentient beings, which would include aliens,
right?
A part of aliens, but they're part of God, like we're part of God, like the trees are part of God. We're all part of the same thing. And Eric Daniken says that too. Ancient Aliens does not.
Yeah. Well, when you siphon God into, you siphon and filter God into one genre, one thing, one concept, one religion, all you have is dogma.
Right. But and we're not talking about that.
No.
Right. But that was another huge piece that I'm like, wow, he's actually gone about, you know, I keep saying, I'm not trying to, you know, look at us, but he's kind of went about it the same way we did, looking at some of the ancient texts and like, well, wait a second.
Yeah.
Some of these things doesn't make sense. And so then in his mind, the more research he did, it's like there, he, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the Bible's talking about the aliens that came. It's not talking about God. It's talking about the aliens that came. Well, and I'm not saying he's right or wrong. But it's, there's a distinction, which,
well, he was translating certain words that appear in the Bible, that, and I think it was most often the Old Testament, that, you know, represent words that we now associate, mm-hmm. or that we've been trained to associate with aliens, mm-hmm. and you know, people from another world, and so there's a lot of there's a lot of kind of hypnotic pandering going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, the reason what I said before about you can take God and associate it to one genre and one thing, and it just creates a dogma. That's actually really important in a way, deep, 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 deep down. We are really talking about that because, it, you know, we're not going into any philosophical conversation, but, you know, if you're handed a quote unquote apple and everybody tells you what an apple is, then that's your understanding of an apple. Really?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
I mean, really?
and he brings that more to light. If you mm-hmm. don't get caught. I mean, when we had this conversation earlier and I said about talking about this book, my interest wasn't because of ancient aliens. I started by saying, when I heard him talking, there was something else I was hearing. I didn't know what it was. And I said, I should get his book. Mm. And this is what I'm talking about. He's saying exactly what you're saying. This is not, he's kind of cutting through dogma. He's trying to cut through. And he, on his own, he's got his own view of God. And I don't think he even talks about that. He right. doesn't even talk about his view of God. But he says, it's very distinct. I am a Christian and I do believe in, very much believe in God, but we're talking about aliens here. Like he's very clear.
I think right. And I think he's written a number of books after this one as well.
None of which I've read either.
No, I haven't. And there could be other things that he says related to that, that we aren't, you know, that I'm not right. familiar with.
Me too.
Yet I do find that one of the fascinating things that he keeps on associating with is, you know, if you go to proof of certain things, he goes like around the world and he looks at archaeology and he kind of grounds it, which is really funny because I'm kind of grounding it for you right now. And he goes to all these different places and he looks at archaeology and he says, you know, looking at it, you know, trying to figure out how were rocks moved, how were the pyramids made, like all the specifics you can read the book for. But at one point he even says, you know, our imagination is unable to conceive of the resources used. And I want to go, wait a minute. If we take all our imaginations as however we've been, you know, however they've been kind of force-fed as everything is opening up now and revealing, that's not true at all. We can conceive of immense amount of things. And so the archaeology part, I think, is interesting because when he asks these questions, he's got to, you've always said, all right, how are we going to ground this? He's got to ground it somewhere. And he grounds it in all the different places and all the archaeology. That it was funny as I was listening to it. And I don't know if this is because, you know, I've been seeing a lot of, and not that I'm watching anything, but for some reason I've been seeing a lot of advertisements for Disney World. But all I thought of was like, oh God, this is like we're in Epcot Center, which I've only been there once, I think years and years ago. And everywhere you go, there's something, but it doesn't relate to anything else. But then it relates to something really far away and you don't know how it relates and how it got there. But then you remember you're at Epcot. And you're in Disney World and you're like, oh, okay, this is all put together. And so the fascination for me was like, it was funny how he would go, because what else can you grasp at? I mean, you could talk about the Bible.
He actually said that if all these experts or all these physicists, geologists, biologists, all of them and worked together, we would be able to find a whole lot. And if you want, and he's talking about hardcore evidence. And so he's saying, if we work together a lot of this would make more sense. But nobody does that. Everyone takes their one piece and then we keep feeding it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that, talking about, what we can conceive of, he actually says, there's another thing in here that he talks about. He considers everything possible. He actually says anything is possible. He talks about one mind, and talks about, I can't remember what we called it, cosmic consciousness. He talks about that. He talks about all the experiments that were done. Like, I don't get into the details of the specifics, but, telekinesis, telepathy, I can't say it. And he talks about mind reading. He says voodoo, hogwash, whatever you want to call it, it exists. And he gives these various experiments that were done by scientists. And he's talking about, collective consciousness, which is what we've talked about, that it exists out there and it's there. We may not know exactly how it happens, but it exists. He brings that he talks about that. And I'm like, that's brilliant. And he doesn't say it's aliens. He says, this is what's happening. And he talks about, where do I go? I didn't get into the specifics. And, he also talks about, so he debunks the whole experts, which is great. And then he suggests to look for answers, not only look at the stars, but we need to, talking about bringing people together. So many answers are right here on our own planet. And you and I, when we were talking about dark energy, dark matter, dark energy and all that, and everyone's looking and they're, seeing the way that things are rotating and orbiting planets and stars and where things are off, they're making these assumptions. And you and I have always said, the answers that we're searching, light years away, are right here in front of us. Mm. They're right here in front of us. Now, I'm not talking about the cave, dwellings, and I'm not talking about the hieroglyphs or the cuneiforms or any of that. He's talking about that. I'm talking like you and I have talked about. You talk about the energy. We talk about energy. That's what we do. And it's so funny. I was thinking, we could do a podcast. I can give you, since I've been here in Maine, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, I know this, and boom, I get confirmation of it. Not looking for it, but do this right now, and I do it. And like, I don't have an answer for how that worked. And you and I know it relates to energy, and we can have this conversation, I think, with a lot of people, and they would, who would have guessed? And, it was just fate or, serendipitous. And you and I always talk about it. And we say the answers are in front of us. We don't have to go looking way up in the stars. He does say it's important to look to the stars, to travel and to move. But he says that's not the only place to look. We also need to look right here where we are. And I'm like, that's brilliant. Nobody says that. You want to go out to the stars. They all are doing, looking in the great big telescopes and everything. And that's good. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but we should not dismiss what's right here in front of us. You and I have been saying that all along, all along. He says it. And it's like, it's so funny. I mean, he's got his, and so I'm taking what he's saying and I'm moving with it because he's saying so much. Ancient Aliens, if you watch the show or you listen, I whenever he's on is the only time I tend to catch it. And I listen to him and I don't listen to what they say because they're, of course, using it to promote whatever it is they're promoting.
Right.
He just says what he says. He doesn't actually, he agrees that he's come up with hypotheses and he admits to them. And it says you don't have to believe it. And I'm not saying it's right. It's a hypothesis. And it's based on these things. But what he does say is what they're telling us is wrong. It doesn't make sense. And that's where I'm like, he's my champion. And then, because I keep going, I don't want to, he knows there's something more. He even says, this is my hypothesis. This doesn't make sense, but he knows there's something more. And he doesn't actually state what that is. He says there's something more. And I'm like, yeah, of course there is. So, and you,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you and I keep searching for it. You know, and I use the word search relative.
So I think in what he writes, actually, if he I didn't want to say it this way, but you know, when you write something and then you go back and read it and you go, whoa, and I'm sure he's done that. I don't know.
We've done that.
And we've done that. And you go, whoa, wait a minute, there's more in here. And I think, you know, one of the things that he did in I think it was in chapter 7 or something, because I'm looking at my notes, and he's talking about it's some archaeological place, and I don't think it was the pyramids, but you know, questioning about how they could move the blocks and wood rollers, and there's no wood here, and there was no new technology there, and he's going on and on. And then he talks about, you know, how ancestors believed in the corporeal return to life here, and the God's promise that return from the stars would give them renewed life. And he asks, who put that idea in the heathens' heads that their cells and their bodies would be renewed? And he asks, because in those areas, those tombs, they found a bunch of, you know, I don't know if they were slaves or followers, all around these top-level people. And he expresses that, you know, nowadays, you know, we do have a bone bank in a hospital. You have fresh blood. They've figured that cells can be retained. And, you know, they found skin cells from a princess that were capable of living, who's been dead for eons. And he says, how did the ancients know that the cells continue? And I'm being really specific on this, that they live and they slow down and then they can come back to life. What is being expressed here? And I think in that more that he's questioning that you brought up, there's a real answer. And even if it's just the energy of the answer that can't really find words, there's an answer in what he just expressed there. Because when he says, where did the idea of immortality come from? And how did people get the concept of corporeal reawakening in the first place? And it's funny because, you know, as a kid, you know, if you're in traditional school, you learn in history and you just learn it. It's written on the board, you copy it down, you take the test, you memorize it. This is the way it is. And we've had, you know, conversations about history and blah, blah, blah. Yet it's just really funny because he says, where did they get that idea? And a lot of people don't question to that level rather than just asking the regular questions. You know, where was this information transmitted from? And the funny thing is, in asking that question, he transmits the same information that's always been occurring. Yet you know, there's an energy, if you go deeper, there's an energy there.
He actually, because that's actually a great point, because one of the things, and I told you I had nine points, and that's, you know me, I'm very general. I don't get into the specifics, but one of the things in kind of piggybacking on what you said is, you know, one of his hypotheses is that, you know, people from another planet came here, saw these, you know, I don't like to call them savages, but that's how, you know, back in the 67, the indigenous people, I'll say, were there. And it's like, how do you explain to them who you are and, you know, how do you explain that? And I thought, you know, so that was one way. And then he said, you know, now we're getting to where space travel is now getting possible. This is back in 67. And I mean, now we're going to, you know, now we have not just NASA, but, you know, with Elon Musk and, you know, everybody else jumping on board trying to get to Mars. I mean, space travel is even more prevalent now than it was. And he, you know, one of the things he says is that, you know, how would we give information if we were to have some kind of an apocalyptic event and we wanted to you know, and people have these little time capsules or whatever. But if we wanted to somehow give information, you know, in the year 7000 AD to people that, you know, we have this event and then, you know, it settles down and then, you know, people start, how would we communicate that? That to me was a great question, because you know, you can't write it in Spanish or English or Greek, or you can't write that, right? And so, and so you think about that. That to me was a great concept. I almost like we could do a podcast just on that. Go ahead.
So the funny thing about that is, it goes back to that statement that our imagination is unable to conceive. And I don't agree with that at all. Our imagination can conceive anything. And if it's based in, he said something about the, you know, mysteries always have superficial explanations. And he just kind of points it out. And, you know, we've had that conversation about, you know, the voyagers on the ship and the native scene and not knowing what, you know, what is there. That's a ship, and not knowing. And then it's explained to you. But there's other, you know, it kind of relates to that idea where people say, oh my gosh, aliens would never be able to eat our food. And you know, we've said this in the past, and I've said this in the past. Well, how do we know, quote unquote, aliens have a digestive
system? But that to me is like Ancient Alien. Like that's the part of his book that I didn't, like, he didn't go into that.
But
like,
he didn't let me finish my point. So to take it further is that even what you just expressed is it, you know, accessing the same stuff and explaining it with the same stuff. If he's accessing the stuff and explaining it with the same stuff, there's no imagination there.
So so part of his point, I think, in making this statement is that, you know, we're looking at things that were, you know, maybe documented, you know, the Sumerians 7,000 years ago. I mean, it's like, you do have to kind of be a little open-minded, because how would we communicate with people that are going to be on this planet in 7,000 years after an a life-changing event, and we were extinct and later, and we wanted to put, how would you do it? And I think that's an interest. That to me is what's interesting, because that's what he's trying to convey as being what we're being conveyed.
Thank you for subscribing and listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon Authors pages and Google Play Books for our books and ebooks, and our fan link for podcasts available everywhere. Find music from the Free Rock Trio and New Threads everywhere too.